Now turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9. And let us read in unison verse 23 to verse 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let us read in unison. Read it. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. The Lord bless the reading of His sacred word. Let us pray. Most bountiful Father in heaven, how we thank Thee for this opportunity to have this ladies' Bible retreat. And we want to begin this morning by seeking Thee in Thy word. And as we look into Thy sacred pages, guide us and lead us into a right understanding of these words of truth, that our hearts may truly be drawn closer to Thee, and that we will know Thy will and be committed wholeheartedly to following Thee. Hear our humble cry as we commit these things into Thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I was pondering what passage would be good for our morning devotion. Well, the Lord led me to this passage in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. And it fits the theme of our study very well because we are studying on the book of Ruth, and I believe most of you have attended the first and the second messages yesterday. Right. How many of you attended the first and second messages yesterday? Everyone? Very good. So everybody knows what we are talking about here. Right, so Ruth chapter 1, right? And especially Ruth chapter 1 is really the theme chapter of the entire book. And in Ruth chapter 1, we see how a Gentile lady, was very committed to following the one living and true God, the Lord Jehovah. And it's not easy for her, right? Because she is a Gentile, and she's a Gentile widow going into a foreign land, right, into the land of Israel. And widows in those days, right, were very despised. They were considered the lowest strata in society. And there is no guarantee that later on in life, she will be well looked after. If there was nobody to redeem her, then you can be very certain that she will be an outcast in society, and she will struggle to even have her needs to be met. And yet in her heart, she wanted to follow her mother-in-law into the land of Israel, because her devotion is not to her mother-in-law, her devotion is not to anything in this world, but simply to the Lord Jehovah. She is a lady that is wholly dedicated, wholly consecrated to following Jehovah. And please note that the story of Ruth is only for outstanding ladies. Actually, what we have studied in the book of Ruth should be the characteristic of every Christian. And that is exactly what we see here in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Especially in verse 23, right? The requirements of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a Christian, right, is laid down for us. And here, God says Like Jesus says, and he said to them all. Now, who are these people that he was talking to? Well, the people that he was talking to, if you look at the context, would be the disciples, right? Verse 18, and it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And if you look at the parallel passages, it was made clear in those passages that when Jesus spoke, he spoke to his disciples. And here it says, and you say to them, oh, what are the requirements now? You want to be my disciple, right? You want to be a Christian. Well, then this is the requirement. This is what it means to be a Christian. And the requirement is this, right? If any man will come after me, you really say you want to follow me, right? So this is a general expression of following. You go after a person, you walk behind him. Then, this must be found in your life. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So three requirements here. Let him deny himself, self-denial. But what do we mean by self-denial? Well, some people think that self-denial means to flog oneself, to deny oneself of all the basic necessities of life, or to lead a simple lifestyle. Right? That is not what self-denial is all about. In fact, if you look at the context of Luke chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 16 and like passages, you will realize that Jesus began this whole conversation by first warning the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, what is the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Well, it will explain that it's their doctrine and it's their hypocrisy. A hypocritical religion. And you look at the Pharisees, well, the people think that they were very holy men. They followed the traditions that men created to present an outward show of religion, right, to so-called guard the law, but were actually extra biblical teachings that were not very biblical at all. And so yes, outwardly, when people look at the life of the Pharisees, they say, oh, look like very holy men. But Jesus Christ exposed their religion, and inside they were actually ravening wolves. Right? They have no heart for God, no heart for His Word, no heart for Christ. And so, yes, when we talk about denying oneself, please do not get this kind of wrong understanding about what it means by self-denial. Oh, that I must deny myself, if later on some among you, one of your sisters decides to be very kind and offer you a chocolate. Now, I know if you give to some of you here, like Grayson down here, she probably won't care. Chocolate is a breakfast. But for some of us, chocolate is luxury food. Right? And so, what? Luxury food. Luxury food. Let me deny myself. Wow, requirement. Okay, no chocolate, please. Okay? So, next time, if Chloe receives a chocolate from Grayson, you cannot take. Okay? Let you deny yourself. Right? Deny yourself. Of course not, right? That's not what the Bible is teaching. So some people have this very wrong understanding. So when somebody buys a new car in the congregation, actually the new car the person is buying is because, it's a big car, necessarily a very big car. Why? Because the family has many children, and so need to look after. But then people look, wow, big car, wow. And then the person may be able to afford, right? His income is high, and so he buy the brand, of course, it's not the common kind of brand people buy. It's a branded car. Wow! How can he do that? Wow, he has no self-denial in his life. Now, that is not the way we should understand denying himself down here. Well, when we talk about denying ourselves down here, basically is this, right? That my whole life is fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the past, I live for myself. But now I do not live for myself, I live fully for the Lord Jesus Christ. I live fully for God. And so whatever is God's will for me in my life, that I follow. Now, if it's God's will that, okay, He blesses me with much resources, I am rich, then okay, then let me use these riches for the Lord's glory. I'm not going to use these riches to drive me away from Christ, to just satisfy my fleshly lust. But I will use this resources which the Lord has given to me to promote His name. And if it so be that the Lord wants me to live a life of, which in the eyes of the world is a life of poverty, and if so be that the Lord wants me to live a life of suffering, or if so be that the Lord wants me to go to a place where in my heart I will not want to go, well, that I will do. And so this is what it means by self-denial. And so some of you down here, right, ladies, you all may have ambitions of what you want to do in the future, right? Kristen is about to graduate, I know Sophia very soon also is going to graduate. Then some here are FEBC students also, they may have thinking where they want to serve. Where does Sophie want to serve? Well, maybe wherever the Lord needs her, right? Whether it's Africa or whether it's what, oh, so she's thinking of go Africa, right? So maybe thinking go back to China, right? Chonghui, go back to China. So Chonghui is looking forward to go back to China. Of course, not so easy in China, but yes, looking forward, right? Because no matter what, the heart is he's a China Chinese. So the heart is for China, want to go back home. That is what we may have in our hearts while thinking, and we think that is the place that the Lord wants us to go. Tessa and Daya, I think now, last time we want to go back to the Philippines, right? So now how? You're stuck here, right? That's right. Right? So you ask Tessa and Daya, long time ago, anytime. Daddy, when are we going back to Philippines? Daddy also thinking of two places, right? Correct, he was thinking of Africa, then he was thinking of Philippines. Well, I want to go back to Philippines, want to go back now. Poor thing, they stuck in Singapore. Stuck forever here in this tiny little red dot. Cannot escape. Confined in all corners, right? All confined by waters all around. Actually, Philippines also all waters, but bigger land space. Singapore really, everything squeezed into one small dot. 80 square kilometers of land, right, including some reclaimed land, approximately like 80. So how? Oh, I want to go back to Philippines. So the next time I get older, take a plane, go, fly, how to escape. No, right? Because where the Lord calls us, right, even though that may not be our plans, even though that may not be what we humanly desire, yet because this is what the Lord has called us to do, He has redeemed us by His precious blood, and now we belong to Him, and because we live a life of full surrender, right? Really, when we talk about self-denial, it's really full surrender unto Him, because we are now His servants, and we are supposed to come after Him. And so therefore, where He asks us to go, what He asks us to do, we all submit to Him, and that's what we mean by self-denial. Well, for example, for me, it was never in my mind to be in tabernacle. Those who are in Ebenezer, they have heard of it before. It's not. I have never thought to be in tabernacle. No, when I first joined at FEBC, in fact, I was a very naive young man, and then. All along in my heart, I'm really happy to just teach God's word. And so, when asked in the class, pastoral theology, when Koshi was there, you know, say, "Oh, what's your calling? Calling to teach God's word." No, not the calling to be a pastor. Well, then I say, teach God's word. Well, then we have, we can say a nice discussion in class. And then after that, he showed me from the scriptures, supposed to be pastor teacher. And of course, he joked with me. By now, he forgot. He confessed he forgot. And he said, if you want to graduate from FEBC first, your stomach will have to be bigger than mine. Maybe now I think I'm bigger than his. That's why I'm out. So it was never in my mind. I just thought, well, I'll just teach. And then, but then the Lord led differently. And then to tabernacle, not through life. I thought I'd be very happy in just through life. You cast me in one Sunday school class or whatever, I'd be very happy. But that is not the Lord's plan. Self-denial. So if let's say the Lord calls some of you here to serve in whatever areas of ministry, whatever service, even with regards to jobs also. Yeah, my thinking is this particular company, with all these perks and everything, yes, I want to go to this particular company. But then the Lord may lead differently. This kind of desk job I don't like. But that's how the Lord leads. Then, deny ourselves, that's where the Lord leads, and then we go. Or some is opposite. Some is, I'd be very happy with a desk job. I like that kind of life. But then the Lord leads somewhere where you have to be very active. You need to interact. Self-denial. So that's the first requirement. Second requirement here, is this, you take up your cross daily. You take up your cross daily. Now, in other passages of the scripture, parallel passage, you will just see take up the cross. But here in Luke, the way it is written is, take up his cross daily. There's this additional emphasis on how, day by day, we are expected to take up this cross, And what is the cross? The cross, really is a symbol of loneliness, humiliation, and also of suffering, That's what, and in those days, only the worst criminals are hung on the cross. And so when Jesus took up the cross and really bore it all the way to Calvary, it was very humiliating. It was also great suffering. And it was also a show of his humility. And so as how the Lord Jesus Christ bore the cross for us, we must also bear the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this talks about how in our disposition is a disposition of loneliness, and not only just that, but there must be this heart that must be prepared for suffering, for persecution, for difficult times ahead. So really this is a follow-up from self-denial, and then prepare to bear this cross. So, I cannot forget how, in Africa when I was there, ministering for 2 weeks at the Bible College of East Africa, and then looking at how, some of these people, these ladies, they truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but at their homes, they really suffer because of husbands. Though they call themselves to be Christian, but their husbands were not very Christ-like at all. The husbands beat them. The husband abused them. The husband does not look after them. But they patiently bore it. They continue to have a Christ-like testimony from day to day. And then when it comes to the Lord's Day service, some of them they are kilometers and kilometers away from the church, and some are very old widows, or may not be widows, but effectively widows because their husband abused them, their husband neglected them, Some even have ailments on their body. Some they need walking stick to walk. But they walk kilometers to go to church. Wow, that is really great self-denial. Not a self-denial, but you see how they bore their cross every day as they suffer at home. Well, compared to Singapore. Singapore, well, if let's say I shift house from one place to another place. Oh, last time I stayed in Jurong, then Kelvin Pandan. Now I shift to the east, or Tabernacle is the nearest, or then I shift to Tabernacle. Reason why? Not because of good preaching, or that the Lord leads to a different area of service or anything, but because convenient, I can wake up later. While some more Tabernacle service is in the afternoon. Lucky best. I can sleep even longer. So Sundays kind of late night, wake up, 10:30 a.m. wake up, still have time, to get ready and then go to church. Wow, then you see this in contrast with these ladies in Africa. Then want to come for fellowship groups. Want to go for certain activities of the church. Oh, if the church friend comes, okay, I go. If the church friend don't come, or if there's no private transport from any of the members, I don't come. I don't go. Compare this, and then you compare to the African ladies. Oh, the African ladies really understood, what it means by 1923. Every day in their lives, they suffer, yet they patiently bore it, continue to be very Christ-like for their husbands, and then look at their devotion to God. Now, are you ready for this kind of life? Now, the assumption is that in Singapore, life will always go on as usual. But if you are a person that follows current affairs, and then you look at the way the world is changing, Brexit already, people are shocked. Right? Don't ever think that life in Singapore will remain the same. Let's say if the situation changed, how? And then you now have to call to suffer for Christ. Are you ready? And sometimes this kind of, and even in present conditions, sometimes you may also be called to suffer. As what, God willing, we will see another passage tomorrow. Right? Sometimes this cross that you are called to bear may be even in the midst of your own family and in the midst of the church. It's something to be expected. This is nothing new. And that is what the Lord calls us to, right? There is this road which I demand you to walk. You are required to bear your cross. Now bear your cross daily. Not sometimes, or not only on Sunday. On Sunday then, with regards to the African ladies, it's every day, right? Some is Sunday. Well, Sunday, they know people are watching, so they walk 10 kilometers to church. But then from Monday to Friday, they live horribly, also cannot, right? Take up your cross daily. It is readiness to suffer for Christ and to be lowly for Him, right? Even if the world regards you lowly, you are and despise you. You are ready to humble yourself for the sake of Christ, and then suffer, and then follow Him. This one follow here has this understanding of being a disciple, right, of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There are some words of follow. There's one word of follow which talks about how diligent a person follows, right? Then sometimes you have expressions of following, like for example, what you see here in verse 23, come after me, a combination of words, and talking about how there is a leader, and then you are, right, where the leader goes, you follow, right? But here, this word follow has this understanding of being a disciple. Right, where we get the English word for acolyte, right? So here is a disciple, and a disciple is someone who is most willing to learn from the master. Right? What the master teaches, he learns, and this master is not like the kung fu master of the Chinese films. Right, kung fu master in Chinese films, if there are 10 stages in the kung fu, they only teach you 9 steps. Right? Here, Well, this master, like, opens his word for us. Well, study my word and follow after me. Be my disciple. Whatever I teach you, you follow. And as we see later on, right, that is very, very important, right, when we talk about following Christ, when you talk about following God, right, you can never, never separate Christ from his word. Right? The living word and the written word, they cannot be separated. And so if you say you want to follow Christ, or you want to be his disciples, yes. Disciple, yes, then you must be ready to learn from Christ. But where can you learn about Christ? Right? You learn about Christ from his word. And so that's why it's very glad to see all you ladies here in this ladies Bible fellowship. And I believe in this week, right, there are also the other churches here, BP churches, right, like for some Pandan, they also have quite a few activities this week for and in this September week there are Christians, Christian ladies like you, and also Christian men and women who are committed to study his word, to learn more. Well, you can easily spend the September holidays, you know, like some Singaporeans, they will fly overseas for holiday or go out for shopping, or well now normal days cannot play Pokemon, now they play Pokemon. You realize that, you know, they say Pokemon has died down, right? But suddenly these few days the people start coming out again. Because school holidays, so they start coming out again. To catch those ones and zeros. Right, code, you know, one and zero, right? Code is ones and zeros. Right, binary code. And so now they are out. Waste of time. Whole day just catching. But you are here, you are learning God's word, and that is good. And let that be a consistent dedication to it. But of course, when you talk about learning from Christ, you will see that learning from Christ, following Christ, not just learning from Christ, but also obeying, right? You learn, right? You study his word, but then you do not obey. Well, that is not a good disciple also, right? And then that will be akin to the, right, again using a Kung Fu master illustration, the disciple learning the, you know, in those Kung Fu show, they will write all the formula, right? So you learn all the formula, but you never go and practice your Kung Fu. Then what's the point? You only can do, but ask you to execute, cannot execute. Right. And you will not execute. Worse, I ask you to execute it, you go and do your own way. But then what's the point? Then that's not called a disciple, that is called a false disciple, in fact. Oh, you say you follow, you learn, and then you do, you obey, and wholeheartedly, right? Committed to him. And so really, what you see here in verse 23 is that the first two, right, deny yourself, right, take up the cross daily and follow me. There is this progression whereby you first begin with the heart, right? Denying oneself really is, it begins with the heart, right, a heart of total surrender to him, and then slowly it moves on into something that you can see and it's being expressed in daily life, right? This obeying and this pursuit, right, after God's will, right? To want to do God's will. And what you see here in verse 23, this requirement, please do not think, right, that this requirement is something that is negotiable. Right? It is not negotiable, it is something that ought to characterize a Christian. Well, as you can see, this, right, Ruth was, right, this verse 23 really describes Ruth very well, right? But sometimes we see Ruth, oh, Ruth is a nice story just to come for the retreat and then to hear, Joshua Young tell many stories. Did he tell many stories this time? Some stories. Okay, so here, come and hear Joshua Young tell story. Preacher Joshua Young tell story, after that, go back one. Nice story about Ruth. Right, and then it's just somebody, just some theoretical woman out there, you know, and then, okay lah, I just hear, after that I go back my life, it's just like this. No, it's not. Right, Ruth is in fact the very embodiment of what a Christian ought to be. And she was it's really like that shining light from outside of Israel to Israel in the time of Judges, where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Many false Christians during those days. And in fact, in such times, it's like this also. Many false Christians around, much falsehood. We need ladies like Ruth. And so we hope that all of you down here will be like Ruth, and then you will be like what is here in verse 23, because that is exactly what it means to be a Christian. Now, how do we know this? Because you look at verse 24, right? The consequences of, You look at verse 23, these requirements. Verse 24, all the way to verse 26, the consequences. Consequences of not having these requirements, not having these requirements fulfilled, also the consequences of having these requirements fulfilled, all down here for us, the consequences. And so you see here, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now what do we mean by for whosoever will save his life shall lose it? The best way to understand this is to go on to look at verse 25. Right? Verse 25 will explain what we mean by for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. I mean, if you are in the ocean and then, or you are in the pool and then it's getting dangerous in the pool, and then you save yourself by holding on to something that is floating, does that mean you cannot? If let's say you are drowning, you should let yourself drown. I don't think that's what it means down here, right? So you have to look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? So in other words, when you look at verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, it will refer to a man whose whole focus is only on the material and on the cares of this world. And that is what the world is all about, isn't it? You look at your friends, you look at all those who are unbelievers. When they go to work, their whole understanding is, I need to work in order to get my pay packet so I can feed my stomach in order to survive from day to day. Right? And then to fulfill what my soul desire. My soul desire, right? The word life here is actually the word soul. Whatever my soul desire, So whatever my soul, whatever is necessary for me to sustain my life, that I will do. And that is what my whole focus in life is all about. Like bread and butter issues, and if I can fulfill my bread and butter, then how to fulfill my fleshly lust. And again, if you look at this context, you will see that after the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the people about the doctrine of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees, this rebuke, you will not be able to see in Luke chapter 9, you will be able to see in the parallel passage of Matthew 16 and all those. But what you see down here, you will see that in verses 10 all the way to 16, right, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about this particular miracle, isn't it? Right? You see this particular miracle? What is the particular miracle that he's talking about? The feeding of the 5,000. And then in other passages, you will see also talk about the feeding of the 4,000. Right? Here, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Correct? Feed the 5,000 men. Correct? This particular miracle. And then later on, right, in the other passages like Matthew chapter 16, you will see when he talks about the Pharisees, he will also talk about these two miracles, the feeding of 5,000 and the feeding of 4,000. And then he will rebuke the disciples because the disciples thought the leaven of Pharisees refers to physical leaven. Right, then he will rebuke them, and then he says, well, look at these miracles. There is no lack of bread. What I'm talking about is not the eating of bread, right? You should know it, right? This provision is right. I'm the one who always provide for your needs. You need not worry. But what is what are these two miracles supposed to teach? Well, these two miracles are supposed to teach people to look towards the bread of life, isn't it? To embrace the bread of life, to partake of the bread of life. And you know what happened in John chapter 6, right? In John chapter 6, those people went to chase the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ no longer want to give them any bread and pointed to them and say, "Yo, you must seek me. I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that came from heaven. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." Right? And they rejected Christ. Why? Because in their heart, they are only looking for the meat of the world, the bread and butter. They are only looking to save their own soul in that sense. Save their own life in that sense. And so if you pursue after that good, and that is your whole disposition in life, in the end you'll find that at the end of your life you will lose your life. And we know what it means, right? People who have this kind of worldly philosophy, right, they are not born again. In the end, they will face eternal damnation and judgment in the lake of fire. Oh, they will really lose it. But on the other hand, a person who is willing to lose his life for my sake, and this lose his life for my sake must be seen in the context of verse 23, right? You are willing to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me, and if it means even in the loss of life, you have to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are willing to die. Now, if a person has such a disposition, well, the same shall save it. In other words, right, this person, if this person is born again, right, he will be saved. Now, Jesus, of course, is not teaching here salvation by works. He's not. But what Jesus Christ is pointing out is this. Well, this is really a litmus test. That whoever is truly born again, is a true Christian, will be willing to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is what should characterize every child of God. On the other hand, it is the false disciples who are not willing to deny themselves, they are not willing to take up his cross daily, and they are the ones who are not willing to follow, to be his disciple. To be his true disciple in the sense of really learning his word, and then after that obeying his word. That is the test. That is the test. And so therefore, dearly beloved, if your life is not one that is in full surrender unto the Lord. Now of course, this whole concept of full surrender is something that we will spend our whole lifetime learning. But it is not something like this willingness to surrender your whole life unto the Lord. It's not there in your heart. Then the Bible says very clearly that perhaps you are not even born again. And that is something that is really terrifying and ought to worry everyone, because now you firstly when we examine our lives, right? Are we really characterized by this self denial, taking up the cross and following Christ? And then looking at the church as a whole, sometimes when people make decisions, simply based upon money and based upon convenience and based upon whatever benefits me, that is actually a characteristic of someone who is not born again. Really, it's a characteristic of someone who is not born again. This is not something that is play. Right? This is something that is the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and we better examine ourselves. And so, dear ladies, what has the Lord tell you to do? Let's say if the Lord in the end calls you. Now, how many of you here wants to be career woman? Career woman. Come on, nothing wrong to be a career woman. If you're caught to be singlehood, and then I don't think you're called to be single, unless you're called to singlehood, and then you're like that, like according to the ministry of the word, or like Chong Hui, like that. But for Tammy, right now, at the time moment, she's single, called to the ministry of the word. Then it's different. If you are not called to the ministry of the word, and then you are single, and then you are not working, very worried, You know what that means, right? You're idling at home, and then your mind will be a devil's workshop, right? So nothing wrong, right? Perhaps in your mind, that is what you desire. And then after that, the Lord called you to give up your job, and then after that, you find yourself, you need to be a housewife. Right? You have children, and then the Lord didn't bless you with the kind of strength and energy to look after that you can juggle both work and children. And really, the needs of children are very great, and you know from the Holy Scriptures that, the main duty of the mother is to look after the children. And then in your heart, I want to be a career woman, because I need the bread and butter, and I also need to fulfill my ambition. And this is your disposition. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. It could very well be that in your heart you have never really committed yourself to following the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it means is you could belong to this category of, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You could be. Of course, there can be Christians that are disobedient, sure. But there also could be many who have fooled themselves that we are actually followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but actually in their own heart, yes, never has been. And so when they go to church, they put on a hypocritical religion just like that of the Pharisees. But then when called and put to the test, are you willing to follow me? Christ says, no, not willing. You may not be born again in the first place. Possible. And that is a frightening thought. Really frightening thought. And so, I understand all these kind of things. Right? This is not something to take it for granted. It is, right? Verse 23 is the characteristic of every Christian. And then you look at verse 26, right? Our time is running short. We quickly look at verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now, you look at verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and then you see that it's linked straight away to and of my words. Right? And that is why, from this passage we know, right, that Christ can never be divorced from his words. I can never separate Christ from his words. And so, this is really the litmus test in life, in the end. You have God's word before you. Right? And there will be many incidents in your life where you will be called to stand for God's word. In fact, you should stand for God's word every day in your life. Everything that you do must be according to God's word. The way you approach your studies, the way you approach your how you work in the workplace, the way you approach family life, the way you make decisions in the family and also in the church. All has to be scriptural. All has to be scriptural. And sometimes when you stick to scripture, there will be forces, there will be challenges that will tear you away from following the words of God. There will be. And as we can see, sometimes these forces that will, right, God willing, tomorrow we'll see sometimes these forces that will try and tear us away from this can be really very great. And then we choose to follow all these people who choose to tear us away because of whatever reason. When you do that, you are saying is, Christ, I am ashamed of your word, and I am ashamed of you. I rather follow what the world teaches. I don't want the world to reject me. I don't want to be lonely in the world. And so I choose the world. I don't want to choose your word. I don't want to choose you. Then what Christ said down here is this. If in your life, this is really your disposition, this is really your characteristic, then at the end of the times where there is this judgment, my judgment that will be passed is this, because you are ashamed of me, so therefore I'm ashamed of you. In other words, I reject you. And so therefore, come back to the cross of it. Luke 9, chapter 23. It is not something that is negotiable. This requirement is for every Christian. This is the characteristic of everyone who is a born-again Christian. So when you all study the book of Ruth, which is really Luke chapter 9, 23 dramatized, right? Because it all started from her devotion in Luke chapter 1, and then later when you see Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 4, you see how the Lord provides, right? And so, you see how the Lord provides, right? Because she followed the preceptive will of God, God's word. She followed hard after God, and so therefore the Lord cooperated with her, and the Lord honored this person who honored her. That is exactly Luke chapter 9, 23 dramatized. She was so willing to deny herself, take up her cross, his cross daily, and follow me. So look at Ruth's life, take it to heart, learn from it, and follow and obey, emulate the faith of Ruth, because that is exactly what it means to be a Christian. On the other hand, the unbeliever will just hear all these things and then will just cast it away in the end. Their life will be most un-Ruth-like. If they are not like Ruth, then you belong to the category of verse 26. I shall be ashamed of you, and I shall be ashamed of my words. You'll be like the other one who ran away. What's her name? William. Is it Orpha or Naomi? Sophia. Huh? You sure? Really? Orpha, okay, that's right. Not Naomi. Naomi is the mother-in-law. Right? Then you'll be like Orpha. It may sound harsh, but really she is actually the very reflection of verse 26. She was ashamed of God, she was ashamed of the world, she chose her own interest, finish. And so may the Lord help us to understand all these things. Okay, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou would indeed grant us a good understanding of what you have given to us in thy word, and grant us a heart that is truly on you, that is truly consecrated unto thee, full of love towards thee because of the love of Christ. Oh, how we desire that in our lives, what is found in thy word, whereby you have said that we should deny ourselves to take our cross daily and follow thee, may be true. And so help us, Lord, and continue to teach us what it means to be a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our humble cry, and we commit these things in thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.